Welcome, and thank you for standing by. All participants will be able to listen only until the question and answer portion of today's conference. To ask a question, please press star one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn your conference over to Ms. Kathy Harbin. Ms., you may begin.
Thank you, Julie, and thank you all for joining us for these updates on CDC recommendations related to Zika virus. With us today to provide an overview of the updates is Dr. Denise Jamieson, and that's Jamieson. She's a clinical OBGYN with CDC's Division of Reproductive Health. For the question and answer period, we also have Dr. Sonja Rasmussen, and that's Rasmussen. She's a clinical geneticist and director of the Division of Public Health Information and Dissemination, and editor-in-chief of CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. That's the MMWR. We also have Dr. Alexandra Oster. That's O-S-T-E-R. She's a medical epidemiologist in the Division of HIV/AIDS Prevention at CDC. And we also have today with us Dr. Catherine Spong, that's S-P-O-N-G, and she is acting director of NIH's National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. Now I'd like to turn the call over to Dr. Jamieson.
Good afternoon. CDC continues to learn more about Zika literally every day. And as we learn more, we're eager to share that information with you. Today, we're here to talk about three articles published in the MMWR with new recommendations and information to prevent Zika virus transmission and its health effects. First, updated interim guidance for healthcare professionals for counseling patients about pregnancy planning and the timing of pregnancy after possible exposure to Zika virus. Second, updated interim guidance for preventing sexual transmission with information about how long men and women should consider using condoms or not having sex. And third, considerations and challenges based on Puerto Rico's experience for reducing unintended pregnancy in areas with active Zika transmission. Before we go into the new guidance, I first wanted to briefly update you on the latest numbers reported to CDC and the latest numbers in Puerto Rico, the U.S. territory that to date has been most affected by the virus. As of today, we know of 273 Zika virus cases from 35 states and the District of Columbia that have diseases such as Zika. These have been reported to the CDC through ArboNet, which is the U.S. surveillance system for arboviral diseases. All are travel-related or sexually transmitted cases. In addition, there have been 261 cases reported from Puerto Rico, 14 cases from American Samoa, and 11 cases from the U.S. Virgin Islands. Of these, 99% are presumed to be locally transmitted by mosquitoes within the territories. Puerto Rico is by far the most affected area. I'll now turn to the update on the updated guidance related to pregnancy planning. Today, we've issued updated guidance for healthcare professionals who counsel patients about pregnancy planning and the timing of pregnancy after possible exposure to Zika virus. Mounting evidence supports a link between Zika and microcephaly, a birth defect that is a sign of incomplete brain development, and possibly other problems such as miscarriage. The rate of these complications is not known yet, but we are studying this. We know there's a risk, but it's important to remember that even in places with active Zika transmission, women are delivering apparently healthy infants. Our goal here is to ensure that doctors and other healthcare professionals have clear guidance to inform discussions with their patients about possible exposure to Zika virus, pregnancy planning, and timing of pregnancy. The updated CDC recommendations are these. First, for women and men who have been diagnosed with Zika virus or who have symptoms of Zika, including fever, rash, joint pain, or red eyes after possible exposure to Zika virus, CDC recommends healthcare providers advise that women wait at least 8 weeks after their symptoms first appear before trying to get pregnant, men wait at least 6 months after their symptoms first appear to have unprotected sex. In making these recommendations, we considered the longest known risk period for these categories. We then allowed for 3 times the known period of time that the virus persisted. For men and women without symptoms of Zika virus, but who had possible exposure to Zika from recent travel or sexual contact, CDC recommends that healthcare providers advise their patients wait at least 8 weeks after their possible exposure before trying to get pregnant in order to minimize risk. For men and women without symptoms of Zika virus who live in an area with active Zika transmission, CDC recommends healthcare providers talk with their patients about their pregnancy plans during a Zika virus outbreak, the potential risks of Zika, and how they can prevent Zika virus infection. These are very complex, deeply personal decisions, and we are communicating the potential risks of pregnancy for people who have had Zika and for those who live in areas with active transmission. We are encouraging healthcare providers to have conversations with couples about pregnancy planning and their individual circumstances, and to discuss strategies to prevent unintended pregnancies. Men and women who reside in areas with active Zika virus transmission who are considering pregnancy need clear guidance to help inform the deeply personal and very complex decision about timing of pregnancy. Conversations about health risks of pregnancy can be very difficult, but are important to have. Healthcare providers should discuss the risks of Zika, emphasize ways to prevent Zika virus infection, and provide information about safe and effective contraceptive methods. As part of their pregnancy planning and counseling with their healthcare providers, some women and their partners residing in areas with active Zika virus transmission might decide to delay pregnancy. Next, I'd like to discuss the updated interim guidance for preventing sexual transmission of Zika. The recommendations for men who live in or travel to an area with active Zika virus transmission who have a pregnant partner remain the same. CDC recommends that men with a pregnant partner should use condoms every time they have sex or not have sex for the duration of the pregnancy. To be effective, condoms must be used correctly from the start to the finish every time during sex. This includes vaginal, anal, or oral sex. The updated guidance includes new timeframes for men and their non-pregnant sex partners based on the couple's situation, including whether the man lives in or has traveled to an area with active Zika virus transmission, and whether he develops symptoms of possible Zika infection. The guidances are based on available information about how long the virus remains in the semen and the risks associated with Zika based on whether or not men had symptoms of infection. Couples with men who have confirmed Zika or symptoms of Zika should consider using condoms or not having sex for at least 6 months after the symptoms begin. This includes men who live in and men who travel to areas with Zika. Couples with men who travel to an area with Zika but did not develop symptoms of Zika should consider using condoms or not having sex for at least 8 weeks after their return in order to minimize risk. Couples with men who live in an area of Zika but have not developed symptoms might consider using condoms or not having sex while there is active Zika transmission in the area. Couples who do not want to get pregnant should use the most effective contraceptive method that they can use correctly and consistently. Couples who are trying to get pregnant should consult with their healthcare provider. Finally, I'd like to briefly talk about what we've learned based on Puerto Rico's experience about the importance of increasing access to contraception in areas with active Zika transmission. Because of the potential for Zika virus to affect pregnant women and their fetuses, strategies to prevent unintended pregnancy are a critical part of current efforts to prevent Zika-related health effects. Based on Puerto Rico's experience, CDC has identified considerations and challenges in reducing unintended pregnancies in areas with active Zika transmission. Approximately 2/3 of pregnancies in Puerto Rico are unintended, indicating a potentially unmet need for access to birth control. In this report, researchers estimated that about 138,000 women in Puerto Rico may be at risk of unintended pregnancy and are not using one of the most effective or moderately effective forms of birth control. In areas with active Zika transmission, women and their partners who do not want to get pregnant now should be advised about the range of effective birth control methods and counseled that correct and consistent use of these methods is important if they do not want to become pregnant. We'll take questions in just a minute, but I'd first like to share information from the Department of Health and Human Services about their efforts to ensure access to contraception during this outbreak that poses a risk to pregnancy. The Department of Health and Human Services is working to leverage existing programs that currently provide resources for or access to contraception in Puerto Rico, including programs administered by the Health Resources and Services Administration, Office of Population Affairs within the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Health, and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. HHS is also coordinating with federal, local, and private partners to identify additional resources to support increased access to the most effective forms of contraception. HRSA has 20 health center grantees that operate 84 cents in Puerto Rico, which serve over 330,000 people, including nearly 80,000 women ages 15 to 45. HHS is exploring expansion of services at these centers, which currently include prenatal care and other voluntary family planning services. OPA is working to provide additional funds for contraceptive services, as well as facilitate the training of providers in long-acting reversible contraceptive methods. OPA supports two Title X grantees that operate 15 clinics in Puerto Rico, which serve over 19,000 people. Family planning services are a mandatory benefit under Medicaid for men and women and men and are exempt from cost-sharing requirements. CMS is working to provide additional guidance to states and territories on how their Medicaid programs can support the Zika response, including coverage for contraception. We'll now take questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 and you will be prompted to record your first and your last name. Please unmute your phone when recording your name, and to withdraw your question, press star 2. One moment, please. One moment while we gather questions. Our first question comes from Helen Branswell with STAT. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks very much for taking my question. I have a couple if I could, please. Dr. Jamieson, you said that women and their partners, women who live in areas where Zika is spreading locally and their partners may decide to delay pregnancy. Has CDC contemplated, explored the option of recommending flat out that women in areas where Zika is spreading should try not to get pregnant?
I think decisions regarding when and how to have children are personal and complex. And even in the best of circumstances, having a baby is still a risky undertaking. And unfortunately, Zika adds one more potential risk. So I think our obligation is to provide the best available evidence about what those risks are and what we know and don't know about those risks so that women and their partners can make informed decisions.
And my follow-up question, if I could, is in the interim guidance for prevention of sexual transmission of Zika virus in the United States, in the beginning of it, you say for men who've traveled or resided in areas of active Zika transmission and their female or male sexual partners, although most of the guidance appears to be about preventing transmission to women who might become pregnant, why have you included you raised there the issue of men who have sex with men. Why?
Well, we know that Zika is of particular concern in the setting of pregnancy because of the potential adverse fetal outcomes. However, we also know that there are some couples who will be concerned about transmission of Zika through sexual routes and that they'll want to know how they can potentially act to prevent that transmission. Zika virus has been detected in semen when it's no longer detectable in blood. And so our guidelines address any kind of sexual contact that involves semen, which includes vaginal intercourse, anal intercourse, and oral mouth-to-penis sex or fellatio.
And I just want to clarify that that was Dr. Alexandra Oster who was speaking. Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Mike Stobie with the Associated Press. Your line is open.
Thank you for taking my call. I had two quick clarifying questions and one additional question. The clarifying questions, Doctor, did you say the current case count in Puerto Rico is 261? I thought it was 317. Also, among the six sexually transmitted cases that have been described, is one of them the Dallas case, the one that the Dallas Health Department drew attention to? And then the last question was regarding the Puerto Rican report. It describes what proportion of women of childbearing age are not using effective birth control. Do you know for the continental United States what the same proportion is?
This is Dr. Jennifer McQuiston. I'm sorry I've not been previously introduced. I'm going to answer your first question about numbers. So we are revising the numbers posted on our website today based on communications with Puerto Rico. So the numbers reported on this call today are correct. And this is Dr. Oster to answer your question about the six confirmed cases involving sexual transmission that are currently reported on the CDC website. That does include the case that was reported by Dallas.
And this is Dr. Jamieson, and I apologize, but I still don't know the answer to the question of the in the United States, what proportion are women are at risk for unintended pregnancy.
Okay, and Dr. McQuiston, so the number is 261 then in Puerto Rico right now?
Yes, there are 258 cases thought to be locally transmitted by mosquitoes and three travel-associated cases in Puerto Rico, and our website will soon reflect those updates.
Our next question comes from Sabrina Tamernisi with the New York Times. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I may have just kind of missed this, but are the recommendations of 8 weeks for women and 6 months for men in the sexual preventing sexual transmission guidelines thing, is that different from before? Is it new that you guys are giving any type of time limit?
This is Dr. Jamieson. Yes, those are new recommendations. So previously we were really focused on protecting pregnant women, and our recommendations were around women who are already pregnant. What's new in these updated guidance is we're now concerned about the time, the periconceptional period, the period around the time when the woman conceives. And so these are new guidance, Doc. These are new guidelines. The reason.
Got it. So they didn't. There were no guidelines about
periconception
before conception before at all, right?
That's correct. So these are new. Before, it was just women who were currently pregnant.
Got it.
Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Lena Sun with Washington Post. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you very much. I just wanted to clarify something on the numbers. The Puerto Rico Health Department, I believe, is off for the rest of the week because of, at least until Monday because of the holiday. And so the 261, of those 261 cases, do you know how many include pregnant women? Their previous case count had said it was 24, but that was based on a lower number. And I have another question.
Yes, I'm sorry. I don't have the updated pregnancy numbers at this time.
Okay. And my other question is more general. Could you maybe pull back or explain for the average reader how solid is the science on which folks are basing these recommendations? I took a quick look at the MMWRs, and, you know, there's the explanation about how long it's in the semen and, you know, adding extra time on that. But how solid do you think the science is? And if it's not, then is this your best attempt to give some guidance to women because we really don't have anything out there?
I think you're exactly right. I think, unfortunately, there's still a lot we don't know, and there's still a lot that we need to know. These recommendations are exactly, as you say, our best attempt to try and provide reasonable time frames based on what we know about how long the virus persists in blood and how long the virus persists in semen. But we are not, these recommendations will continue to change and evolve as we learn more. But, this is our best attempt at this time, knowing what we know.
Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Robert King with the Washington Examiner. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Can you go through again the recommendations that were updated? I know that the recommendations on having sex for 6 months are new, but can you please again tell me what did you update and why did you try and do that, I guess?
So previously, our recommendations were based on protecting women who are already pregnant. As we look at other viral diseases such as rubella, and as we learn more about Zika in pregnancy, and we learn more about supporting a link between Zika and poor pregnancy outcome, we've become more concerned about the periconceptional period, so the period of time around when conception occurs. And so these recommendations are new in that we're recommending that for people who either have Zika disease or who travel to an area with active Zika transmission, we're now recommending that they wait a period of time before attempting to get pregnant.
Okay.
Next question.
So there's no change to the prior recommendations that you put out or anything. I know that you have the new recommendations, but you didn't do any other update to any other prior recommendations.
So these replace the recommendations that we previously issued.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Heather Tesserero with CBS Evening News. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for taking my question. I'm just wondering, and I'm sorry if somebody has addressed this previously on this call, but most of us in the media have been characterizing an association or a link between Zika and pregnancy and, fetal abnormalities, the microcephaly. I'm just wondering if we're at a point now where, is the agency, are you willing or able to say that it's a causal relationship?
I think we're learning more every day, and I think the evidence of a link between Zika and a spectrum of birth outcomes is becoming stronger and stronger. At this point, we're not using causal language, but the evidence is mounting.
Okay, thank you.
Next question, please.
Our next question comes with Joette Jovinko with WTVT. Your line is open.
Thank you so much for taking my question. I was wondering, I was reading the MMWR, and the unintended pregnancy rate in Puerto Rico was higher, 65%, I believe, compared to the U.S. And I was just wondering, how much of that do you think really relates back to the access to effective contraception, the cost, various other things, versus maybe cultural issues that may be going on there in Puerto Rico?
It seems that there are considerable barriers to accessing the most effective methods of contraception. For example, long-acting reversible methods are not readily available in Puerto Rico. And from our healthcare provider colleagues in Puerto Rico, there is a desire to provide a more broad range of contraceptive options for women in Puerto Rico. The CDC has contraceptive guidance that recommends that all methods of contraception, including long-acting reversible methods, be offered to women who desire to prevent unintended pregnancy. And long-acting reversible methods should be an important component of that.
So will those be provided then at no cost for those individuals?
We're exploring and developing a plan in order to make those methods more available in Puerto Rico, along with our Puerto Rican Department of Health colleagues and OBGYN leadership in Puerto Rico.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have time for two more questions.
Okay. We have one more question. Michael Kirpain with the Dr. Oz Show. Your line is open.
Oh, thank you. Just, I was wondering if you'd help clarify how you chose these time periods a little more, because I know, I understand that most people who get Zika don't have clinical symptoms, and so why is there such a big difference in the time frame? Because I guess people who are traveling to the area could still have an infection and not know it.
So the big difference in the time frame is for men who have Zika and men who are asymptomatic, and that's based on the persistence of virus in the semen. And virus has been isolated from semen up to, actually, PCR. Semen has been PCR positive for up to 2 months after infection, and so that's why that has is a longer time period than the 8 weeks. But I think you bring up a good point, and that is that, as I said earlier, there is a lot we still need to know to make better evidence-based recommendations. We're using what we know about the persistence of virus in the blood and in the semen. But again, we would like to know more, and we would like to have recommendations that are based on more evidence.
Thank you. Dr. Jameson will now have a few closing remarks.
In closing, I'd like to say that CDC's commitment to protecting Americans from health threats is absolute. It's why we are here. It's what makes the thousands of doctors, lab experts, disease control experts, and other scientists come to work in the morning every day in Atlanta and throughout the U.S., including Puerto Rico and other affected U.S. territories. More than 600 CDC staff are working around the clock to continue to learn more and to do more to protect people. As always, as we learn more, we will share it so that Americans can decide how best to protect their own health. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. This concludes our telebriefing. A transcript of this call will be posted to the CDC newsroom as soon as possible. If you need additional information or have other questions, you can call the CDC press office at 404-639-3286 or email media@cdc.gov. Thank you.
Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.